years for greyhound racing to go away, because it costs more than that to subsidize the prizes that were awarded the greyhounds that won the race.
It means only two active commercial dog race tracks will still be in existence, and they're both in West Virginia. In the New England Bureau of USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
1 in 3 adults in the United States aren't getting enough sleep every night. That's according to research found by the CDC. Lack of sleep is linked to several chronic diseases and conditions, including type 2 diabetes, heart disease, obesity, and depression. Chicago psychologist Don Duffy says developing better sleep habits is one of the quickest, most effective ways to improve mental well-being for an individual or family. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Well, clouds tonight, scattered showers, and clouds, scattered activity tomorrow. A couple of sunny breaks tomorrow and again on Sunday. Pretty good rain chance daily, 50-50 or so for the midday and afternoon hours. Overnight low 70s, highs of the day kept in check, except for sunny breaks, getting those highs into the upper 80s to near 90. As we go to early next week, more of the same weather pattern, continuing Tuesday and Wednesday. Pretty strong cool front coming on down midweek next week. Rob Sanji, WGSO. The Gulf Coast Stamp Club will have its Fall 2021 Stamp and Postcard Show Friday, October 1st, 10 a.m. till 6 p.m. Saturday, October 2nd, 10 a.m. till 4 p.m. at the St. Martin Community Center, Lemoyne Boulevard, I-10 Exit 50, St. Martin, Mississippi. The event is free and open to the public. There's free parking available, too. Sponsored by the Gulf Coast Stamp Club. More info at thegulfcoaststampclub.org.
Big Easy Pet Shop and Rescue is a nonprofit volunteer-run rescue. We provide adoption services and care for homeless animals across the New Orleans metro area. We also offer pet supplies and grooming services at our downtown and Marigny locations. The shops are located at 839 Spain Street and 513 Dumaine Street and are open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. weekdays and noon to 6 on Saturdays, noon to 5 on Sundays. We can be found on the web at BigEasyPetShop.com. Support local animals in need by shopping and adopting with Big Easy Animal Rescue.
This is David Duplantier, Dean of Christ Church Cathedral on St. Charles Avenue in New Orleans, the diocesan cathedral for the Episcopal Diocese of Louisiana, inviting you to join us weekly for our live broadcast on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. We also invite you to learn more about the cathedral at our website, ccc.nola.org.
The views and opinions expressed during this show are those of the hosts and guests only. In no way do they represent the views, positions, or opinions expressed or implied of WGSO 990 AM or North Shore Radio, LLC.
I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest.
We just gotta do what we do. We play like we play. We be us. We be special. We smell greatness. We finish strong. Yes, from the top.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are tonight's entertainment.
I got something to say.
Welcome to the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM and streaming live on WGSO.com. No subjects are off limits, so call in with your questions or comments to 504-556-9696. And now, here are the hosts of the Something to Say radio show, BJ Rust with Mike Hinson.
All right, welcome to another edition of the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM and streaming live on WGSO.com. Well, Mike, we made it through another week. We're here.
Yeah, somehow.
Yeah, that's about all you can say, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we were having a conversation a few hours ago, and yeah, if we were able to truly discuss it, we would probably get kicked off air forever. So yeah, but it, yeah, we're slowly powering through it. So
yeah, well, you know,
Hopefully it gets better soon, and I think it will. You know, like I told you the other day, what's that Green Day song, Wake Me Up When September Ends?
Yes. Of course. That song has so much more meaning, though. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, so let's not wallow in self pity. Let's talk about the Saints and what they got going on this week. And injury report came out today, the final one, and we have five players, count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 players that will not be playing in the game. Most of which are on defense. So Eric McCoy, he'll be out with calf injury, which is no surprise. He's going to miss probably, if we could get him back before the bye week in week 7, I think we'd be doing pretty good. But you have defensive end Marcus Davenport is out with a shoulder, which I thought he played really well the other day. And
I did too. I was very impressed.
Quan Alexander's out, which that really sucks because he did play really well. Pete Werner, first round draft pick, and I believe he's a defensive end as well. He's out in Chase Hansen, which I think is he an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman? I can't remember.
I can't remember either.
Well, either way, he's not going to be playing, which I don't think that has that much of an impact on the game.
No.
Lattimore, though, he did participate in practice today, and he's officially questionable. And that is, if that's not an oxymoron, well, he's officially questionable.
I feel like he was officially questionable when y'all just said he was questionable. But hey, whatever works for y'all. So.
Yeah, he's officially questionable. Truthfully, I look for him to play. I really do.
I do too. He's got the same soft cast on his hand that he did during the game when he played.
Yeah.
And now I don't remember which one it was, but one of the commentators said that's going to seriously hamper somebody, a DB, because of the way that you have to play. Mm-hmm. But he's Marshon Lattimore. And so, I mean, him being severely hampered puts him even with an average DB on any other team. So,
right. Also listed on officially questionable is C.J. Gardner-Johnson. He's got some knee issues, but if he doesn't play, he didn't practice yesterday or today. So if he can't go, it's only the second time he's been unavailable.
Yeah.
Defensive end, Tano, I think we agreed that we'll just call him K-Pass.
Yes, K-Pass.
he's questionable with a calf, which we kind of need him if Werner and Davenport are unavailable. And also safety, P.J. Williams, he's questionable also with a back issue. So we'll have to see. You know, the crappy part is that you look at the injury report for the game, the only people that are on it is Saints. There is zero people on the Panthers injury report.
Yeah, and I got to say, it kind of surprised me when I saw that the Saints are only a 3.5-point favorite. But then I thought about the fact that about half of our defense is either injured or questionable. And I was like, I guess I can see giving it to them, you know, but I feel like the game's going to go better than 3.5 points our way. So
I do too. I think we can overcome. We can overcome the injuries. I'm still not sold on Sam Darnold. I don't care if he did have a change of scenery. I wasn't big on him when he was drafted by the Jets so high.
Yeah.
He does kind of look like Cro-Magnon, man, but I digress. You know, and they played a good game last week, but they played against the Jets, and I don't know if that's exactly the measuring stick to find out how good a team is. But you know, here's the other part of this is that the Saints played a fantastic game against a good team. Now you can't come into this game and have a letdown. You know, you gotta be mindful of the situation, and you got to, you know, that old cliche of take it one game at a time. And they have to do that, and they have to be present for this game. And I think they will be. I think with all the adversity, and especially with the fact that we have seven coaches that are out due to due to the COVID protocol. COVID. You know, more adversity. And, you know, Coach Payton is such a good motivator that I believe that he uses these things as rallying points. And, you know, even a 3.5-point favorite on the road, that's good. But, you know, if they lost, I think people would be like, oh, well, you know, they're practicing in Dallas and they're dealing with COVID and they've got injuries. There's all the excuses in the world to just throw, as coaches used to say when I was in high school, just throw your shoes out there and not really show up. But I don't believe that's going to be the case. I believe that these guys are hungry and they're going to come out to prove a point. And you know, and look no farther than them wanting to prove a point than last week. The game was very much in hand in the fourth quarter, and you still had a 55-yard bomb thrown on the Packers. And you know that's 100% Coach Payton. You know he's looking to prove a point to everybody, and it's not going to stop with the Packers. It's going to continue this week too. He wants to prove a point that this team is a lot better than they're given credit for. But, you know,
and
go ahead.
And honestly, this week is going to be just as important as last week. Mm-hmm. Last week, you're playing against the team that made it to the NFC Championship the last 2 years. So obviously you want to prove a point there. Mm-hmm. But now we're opening up division play. And so, yeah, you definitely want to prove a point. To be honest, I feel like if it was me, last week was about proving a point. This week is about making a statement.
Yeah.
Because you want to let everybody else in the division know, hey, guys, look, we're for real. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Breeze is gone, but our defense promised Drew Breeze that they would become the face of the team now that he's gone. They did a good job of that last week. And now this is the week where it really matters because this is a division game. And so you've got to go out there and prove not only to the rest of the division, but to the rest of the NFL that, hey, look, we're here and we're going to do this.
Get used to it.
Yes. I'm glad that we were on the same page. I kind of paused for a second because I thought about that statement. I was like, well, that's not what I'm trying to say. So.
Right. But no, you're right. And it's about consistency. And, you know, I watch Good Morning Football a lot and I don't necessarily agree with them 90% of the time, but there was something that was said early in the week. I think it was like Tuesday. Kyle Brandt said that week one in the NFL is a pathological liar because it's true.
Yes,
because it's you know you never really know. Like the Bills last year lost the first game of the season and ended up going to the AFC Championship. On the flip side, the Jaguars won week one and then lost every other game the rest of the year. So. Yeah, you know, you got to come out and you got to win. And you got to it's all about consistency. And I believe the Saints are feeling the same way, and you don't want anybody to say, "Oh, well, they got up for the Packers game and then didn't show up." And didn't show up for the next game against a divisional rival. So I completely look for them to come to show up, and I think they can handle what the Panthers bring to the table. So,
and one last thing before we take a break, I know we're getting over time now, but I did see a meme on Facebook today that said, "Don't worry, Packers. The last time that the Saints beat somebody 38-3, that team went on to win the Super Bowl because that's what we beat Tampa Bay in the first time we played them last year," and so. This game doesn't necessarily mean the Packers are going to fall off a cliff.
No.
But at the same time, this does prove a point to the rest of the NFL about the Saints that, hey, Breeze is no longer here, but we still are.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And a little bit of a bright spot, the Saints did announce that they are coming home for their next home game, which will be week four against the Giants. So good news, and we'll all hopefully be able to go cheer them on in the dome and have a pack. We're going to have a packed house, and I think everybody's looking forward to that. So we're going to take a break, and we'll come back. We're going to talk about some bar etiquette and some garbage news. So we'll be back with more of the Something to Say radio show after this.
Is there more to this than that? Is there more? Invisibilia Productions and Soul Project NOLA every Friday on Facebook for Fridays from the Funky Uncle. Fridays from the Funky Uncle is a webcast featuring New Orleans funk musicians playing live music combined with interviews and outreach news to raise money for the entertainment community of New Orleans who are impacted by COVID-19. You can also contribute during the show through the use of our virtual tip bucket. So be with us every Friday at 7 p.m. on Facebook to have a funky time and support our music community from the one-of-a-kind Mardi Gras float, the Funky Uncle Lounge. For more info, follow us on social media at Fridays from the Funky Uncle.
The Mayhaw is the craft cocktail bar located in the historic St. Rock Market. Join us every day for happy hour from 4 to 7 p.m. and weekly specials like Tiki Tuesdays, Whiskey Wednesdays, and Thrifty Thursdays. The Mayhaw offers local craft brews and a robust and ethically sourced wine selection for enjoyment with your meal on the patio or for carryout. The Mayhaw is excited to present Mayhaw Mobile, a cocktail, beer, and wine delivery service. Learn more at strochmarket.com.
Hi, this is Clay with Liberty or Lockdown. I'm moving to a new show in a new hour. Join me for What's Your Passion Live to talk about promoting your passion or your business. What's Your Passion is a live show that promotes businesses and podcasts around the city. Join me every Thursday from 1 until 2 p.m. Or you can go to www.wypagency.com to get your business or podcast promoted. See you there.
You can provide the life-changing opportunity of a quality education to a disadvantaged Louisiana student at almost no cost. For those inclined to make a difference and fortify our community, it's a no-brainer. 95% of every donation to ACE Scholarships directly funds a deserving child scholarship, and you receive a 95% tax credit through the Louisiana Tuition Donation Credit. To learn more, call Arthur Dupre at 504-710-1132.
Big Easy Pet Shop and Rescue is a nonprofit volunteer-run rescue. We provide adoption services and care for homeless animals across the New Orleans metro area. We also offer pet supplies and grooming services at our downtown and Marigny locations. The shops are located at 839 Spain Street and 513 Dumaine Street and are open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. weekdays and noon to 6 on Saturdays, noon to 5 on Sundays. We can be found on the web at BigEasyPetShop.com. Support local animals in need by shopping and adopting with Big Easy Animal Rescue.
She's a girl dressed in black from another world. Lives and breathes like a girl from another world. She don't know my name. She don't have the time of day. Celebrate Medicaid.
All right, welcome back, gang, to the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM. So video came out yesterday, and this is why you don't act up in bars or in public really anymore at all, because it's everything's being documented all the time. And there was a video confrontation between our Mayor LaToya and a bar patron at the Polo Club Lounge at the Windsor Court from Wednesday night. And it showed the mayor standing next to a man seated at the bar and what seemed to be a heated conversation about the mayor's evacuation decisions ahead of the hurricane, which I actually got the video here, so we can listen to it real quick.
It's me. You understand? It's me. So LaToya is me. What do you got to say to me? I don't care. But if you have something to say about me,
So yeah, apparently, you know, he was in granted, I'm not defending that guy either. It's not the place to air your grievances is in a bar, regardless if it's a nice bar or not. However, you know, the thing that sticks out to me is that in a situation like this, and I don't know if she was drinking or if she wasn't drinking, but I don't know why else you'd go to a bar. it's not a wise idea to engage, especially if you're the mayor of the city, to engage in anything like this. You know, if he's hassling her, or if he's, you know, harassing or whatever, they should have him removed. It's not wise for her, or really, you know, when you take that position, you got to have thick skin, number one. And I'm not saying she doesn't. And you and I have not agreed with a lot of things that she's done. And I don't agree with this, because you got to have thick skin and you got to move past it. It's not wise, especially in the era that we live in, where everything you do is videoed. You go and make a bad scene even worse.
Yeah, and it's I understand her frustration.
Sure.
You know, she's doing what she can, you know. Mm-hmm. And
like, truthfully, I thought she did a pretty good job overall. But go ahead.
Yes, I did too. You know, she could have handled it a whole lot worse. Mm-hmm. You know, she could have laid off on the incessant saying of the same thing. But at the end of the day, she could have done a whole lot worse. But like you said, this is the time of the internet. I understand that when you were growing up, just like with you and me, you know, you didn't have that. So you could do those kinds of things and it didn't go out to the world. But it's a different time now. You can't revert back to who you were in 1998, because that time doesn't exist anymore. And like I said, she could have escalated it more, and she didn't. So congratulations on that. But at the same time, it is the time of the internet. You need to be cognizant of that. And as you said, you have to have thick skin. Mm. You literally took a position where at least 50% of people are not going to agree with you.
Right.
You need to find a way to do it. You find a way to ask the questions that you're asking in a mayoral way, in the way of somebody who has a leadership position.
Right.
And that is the part that I did not like.
Right.
And to be honest, I have no idea if she has any political aspirations beyond mayor of New Orleans, but that right there will be used against her.
Absolutely.
Right or wrong, it will most definitely be used against her.
Yep. I agree. And then real quick because we got about a little more than a minute before we got to go to break, but the trash situation here in town has been something else, which, you know, truthfully, I understand, and I haven't been that upset about it, except for whenever we could possibly have gotten, you know, a bad rainstorm with Nicholas. But in true New Orleans fashion, a guy named Aaron Louisiana Grant he's got a parade tomorrow that's meant to protest the New Orleans sad sanitation situation. And he vowed that if the garbage wasn't picked up by Wednesday, he was going to organize the first annual trash parade. So he went to social media and called for the citizens to raise a stink, and they're going to assemble tomorrow at 11 a.m. on St. Claude. And they plan on going to City Hall. So I just thought that was that's just New Orleans for you. And it made me smile. So
I love the trash second line.
Right. We got to take a break. Let's get some news, and we'll be back with more of the Something to Say radio show after this.
This is an important message on care for pets in hurricane areas from the Food and Drug Administration and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. A disaster like a hurricane can devastate the lives of pets as well as people, so you can expect the behavior of your pet to change. Normally quiet cats and dogs may become aggressive or defensive. Recovery may take from days to months. Here's how to help. Check your pet for injury. Be careful with your pet as it adjusts to its changed world. Downed power lines or debris may pose threats. Familiar sights, sounds, and smells may be gone. Let your pet have familiar toys and plenty of sleep. And to prevent its escape, release it only into an enclosed room or yard. If your pet was without food or water for an extended time, give it small amounts every few hours. And as soon as you can, let a veterinarian check it for dehydration. This message is brought to you by the Food and Drug Administration in the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
In a world filled with darkness, America's beacon shines through.
And she's still a beacon, still a magnet for all who must have freedom.
The greatest country in the world, America stands for liberty and freedom for all her citizens. Join me, Bill Juno, on my new show, Let Freedom Ring, Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. here on WGSO 990 AM as we fight for America.
There is no other place to go.
WGSO across the Gulf South, a great new way. WGSO.
Celebrating 75 years, we are the community voice of the Crescent City. WGSO 990 AM.
Louisiana Radio Network News, I'm Kevin Gallagher. State Treasurer John Schroeder says he's extremely angry with FEMA and their lengthy delay in reimbursement for school construction in Calcasieu Parish due to Hurricanes Laura and Delta. Schroeder says the delay has forced the State Bond Commission to approve an emergency request for $50 million to help the school system resume construction. He says after two bad hurricanes a year ago, it is time for FEMA to send the money.
But you can only float money like that for so long. We're not talking about a couple million dollars here. We're coming up on a $500 million, and that's only one school system.
LSU is a 20-point favorite Saturday night as they host Central Michigan. Nevertheless, Coach Ed Orgeron says he's not expecting an easy win. The Tigers enter the game ranked 93rd nationally in offense, and Coach O says he wants to see improvements on that side of the ball.
We need to block better up front. We need to have better schemes. We need to run the ball better and protect. There's a lot of things on offense that need to be fixed right now.
This is news on LRN.
There are plenty of phrases about roads. The open road, road trip, road rules. The list goes on and the reason is simple. We all have places to go. We're on the road in our cars, on our bikes, and on foot, and we need to respect each other. We all have the right to be on the road. In fact, according to Louisiana state law, pedestrians have the right of way. Follow the rules, pay attention, and obey the laws. We're all on one road. Share it. Respect everyone. Paid for by Louisiana Highway Safety Commission.
It's like a match made in heaven. Louisiana rice and Louisiana crawfish. And man, oh man, do they go together. Think crawfish and rice stir fry. Crawfish and rice casserole. Our world famous etouffee. Simple Louisiana ingredients. Rice and crawfish. Cajun, Creole, baked, fried, boiled, however you like it. Just start with rice. And give those little mud bugs some spicy Louisiana love. Brought to you by the proud farmers of Certified Louisiana Rice.
You can provide the life-changing opportunity of a quality education to a disadvantaged Louisiana student at almost no cost. For those inclined to make a difference and fortify our community, it's a no-brainer. 95% of every donation to ACE Scholarships directly funds a deserving child scholarship, and you receive a 95% tax credit through the Louisiana Tuition Donation Credit. To learn more, call Arthur Dupre at 504-710-1132.
Enjoy your next happy hour with Roz and the Rocks. Fridays at 1 p.m. on WGSO 990 AM.
My name is Eric Schein. My program is Maritime Matters. Listen in on WGSO 990 AM, Wednesdays, 7 p.m. Central. I'm a graduate of the Federal Military Service Academy, veteran naval officer with many truths to tell and warnings to give. Talking about history, all things maritime, and much more. Program centers on our water's edge, maritime borders, and international rights of way as integral parts of our important civil defense and national security systems and the maritime dangers we are now facing.
Brian Diaz with the NOAA Drink Show. Join me as we explore the world of drinking food in New Orleans and beyond. Mondays from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on WGSO. Exclusive content at NOAADrinks.com. Cheers, y'all.
This is Tony Peppers, host of Tea is for Tony, airing every Saturday morning from 8 to 9 on WGSO. We'll be talking about all the hot events happening around the world with a refreshing perspective. Be sure to tune in, WGSO.
Boy, have we got a show for you this week. Ever wonder where all the great songs have gone? Well, we found them. Hey everyone, I'm Pat Matthews, your host of 70s Deja Vu, and once again, I'll be looking in the rearview mirror, and I'll see you in the back seat. Join me for some great music, all selected to get you going on 70s Deja Vu. Sunday morning at 7 a.m., right here on 990 AM WGSO.
Until you hold your hand
All right, welcome back to the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM. All right, well, we talked about the Saints and the Panthers and what to expect out of that. We'll get to our we got to come up with a score prediction for that too, Mike. But we can let's talk about the rest of the league for week two. And I don't know if you probably didn't get to see last night, but because you know we were joking about it the other day, and we've joked about it extensively over the years about how the Thursday night game is always it's built to be a Super Bowl type game.
Of course,
last night it was the mighty Washington football footballers versus versus the Giants, and you know,
great game.
You know, it ended up being a very good game. To be fair,
I wish I had been able to watch it.
I did watch it, and it was a nail biter, and you know, game was won on a field goal at the end of the game with no time left. Actually, literally no time left when it was kicked. But Ryan Fitzpatrick was injured for the Washington football team. Taylor Heinicke, who you and I both talked a lot about whenever he started for them against Tampa in the playoffs last year. And truthfully, that was the closest anybody came to beating Tampa in the playoffs last year.
Well,
and the kid looked good again last night. He started off a little slow, but I believe he threw for a couple touchdowns and had some really good drives at the end of the game, because I think there was the last time I remember. Well, no, there had to be, yeah, because there was five going into the end of the game, so there were six lead changes in the second half. And then, truthfully, the Giants should have won. Came down to the last second field goal for Washington, and Hopkins, he kicked it wide right, except for I forgot the guy's last name is Lawrence. One of the guys in the middle on their special teams, he jumped off sides before the snap. So you know, and they were giving him a hard time on NFL Network today. It wasn't like that guy ever had a chance to block it anyway. So why would that guy jump off sides and give him a second chance to kick the field goal with no time left on the clock? And of course they did, and the rest is history. But the Giants fall to 0-2, and Washington is 1-1. So I don't know. Go ahead.
I don't remember the specifics, but I saw that the Giants being 0-2, it's the first time in 20 years or something that a team has gone 0-2 for the first 3 years or 4 years or whatever it is in a row.
Mm-hmm.
So they've had a long fall from the Eli Manning days.
Yeah, and you know, as good as Eli was whenever they were in the playoffs, boy, oh boy, he was sketchy during the regular season.
Yes, he was. They would win despite him, and then somehow the Manning magic would show up when he got into the playoffs and then the Super Bowl. So,
yeah, definitely. There are some good games this week that I'm looking at. Well, the first one is going to be a good game, but you never know. You have the 0-1 Patriots against the 0-1 Jets. I would think the Patriots would win that game, but you never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah.
The Jaguars, I think, will probably end up 0-2 after they play the Broncos. And the Bills are taking on the Dolphins in Miami, and it's the 0-1 Bills against the 1-0 Dolphins. I don't think that Josh Allen has ever lost to the Dolphins, and from what I'm remembering from his stats, he's thrown 15 touchdowns to two interceptions against the Dolphins, and has ran for like three or four touchdowns. So I'm hoping he has a big game, because I need it out of him, because he helped me poop the bed last week in fantasy football.
I've got him on my public league, and yeah, that didn't really go very well. So
no, especially whenever I had Jameis sitting on my bench with 38 points last week.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, I don't know how much that would help me, because I ended up losing by like 40 points. So I don't know.
That's about what I lost by. So, I guess we're in the same club.
You had a perfect storm against you in fantasy last week because, you had Brady, who had a great game, but everything he threw to the guys on the guy on the other teams that you were playing. So it just negated everything he did.
And I don't know how – somehow he got one more yard than the two guys that Rudy had. I don't understand – exactly how that worked, because his total yardage wasn't, it was good, but it wasn't enough to give him an advantage over the other two guys. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, I digress.
This, I think, is going to be a good game. You have the 49ers in Philadelphia. Both teams are 1-0. 49ers looked really good up until the last couple minutes of the game where they let Detroit score, 24 points or something like that in the last 6 minutes or something. But, you know, and the Eagles look good. So, you know, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier with Kyle Brandt saying about, week one is a pathological liar. We'll see. You know, are the Eagles for real? Are the 49ers for real? Garoppolo had a great game last week, which, he threw over 300 yards, and I don't remember. I don't think he did that at all last year. He didn't do that at all last year.
Well,
and then you have the Rams and the Colts, and the Colts I thought were a lot better team than what they showed last week against Seattle. I would love to see them upset the Rams.
Honestly, most of me feels like the Rams are going to win, but I feel like the Colts have a chance, and they're going to make it a much closer game than most people are giving them credit for.
I hope so. I would love to see them to pull out an upset on them and bring them down to reality a little bit. And then you have a noon game, the Raiders at the Steelers. Raiders coming off that debacle of Monday night, which I don't know if you could say anybody was a winner, including the people watching.
that one was rough. I watched a little bit of that one, and I said, you know what, I'm going to bed.
You were better off. I fell asleep before the end of it. So, but what's interesting about this game is, for whatever reason, Derek Carr decided to throw gasoline on the fire between him and the Steelers and Steeler Nation. More importantly, Steeler Nation, because did you read what he did? What he said yesterday?
No.
He said that the Immaculate Reception, the ball actually touched the ground. What? Why? Why are you going there? That, I mean, nobody that's under 50 years old even remembers.
Really? Yeah.
And there was only probably two cameras in the building whenever that game was being played. And, you know, by those two camera angles, no, it doesn't look like the ball touched the ground. So how in the hell would he know? And what a weird thing to stir the pot with.
Really? But see, what most people don't know, I have some insider information. He does have a time machine.
Oh, okay.
And so he was on the sideline when it happened. And he brought he had his iPhone with him, and so he was able to zoom in on it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, I would hope he would be paying more attention to his playbook and working on on getting better as opposed to watching NFL films. But, you know, whatever. I don't think he's good enough to be running his mouth off like that, you know.
No.
Then you got Bengals in Chicago. The Bengals. I hope they win, you know, for Joe Burrow's sake. And I don't think the Bears are that impressive that they couldn't beat them. I think the Bears aren't as good as my Minnesota, and they beat Minnesota.
Yeah. And the Bears have a great defense. And I feel like that could be the only reason that they would be able to win.
Yeah.
But as we saw last week, the Joe Burrow to Jamar Chase connection is still there, and it's only going to get better as the season goes on. And so I feel like old Burrow may pull out another one.
Yeah. Browns versus Texans. I think that's the Browns all day on that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It doesn't matter that the Texans won last week.
No, it doesn't. Minnesota at Arizona. I would take Arizona on that.
Kyler Murray's starting to look even more like the real deal.
And then what I believe is going to be maybe the laugher of the week. You have the Bucks taking on the Falcons. And I sent you that picture yesterday, and I just said nothing needs to even be said. It looked like somebody killed Matt Ryan. He looked like he might have been dead laying there. Like they could have just take the did a chalk outline of him laying on the ground. I don't know.
I was thinking about it. I'm actually looking at that on the computer right now. It's like the Buccaneers are a 13.5-point favorite. It's like if I was going to bet money on it, I would say probably the Buccaneers by about 40.
Yeah.
So because the Falcons look like the Falcon, they have not been the same since 28-3.
No.
And good God, I love that they have not looked the same since 28-3 because that just makes my Saints heart so happy.
Yep.
So
then you have, and this could be a very good game. I look for the Titans to bounce back, but Seattle's good, and we're going to see how good they really are against. And I think the Titans maybe they're going to be without Bud Dupree too. So. That's pretty big, and I would take the Seahawks on that game.
Yeah, me too.
Then you have Dallas against the Chargers. I gotta go Chargers. I would love to see the Cowboys be 0-2 to start the season. And
that would be amazing. Now, granted, they did play good against the Bucs.
They did,
but the first game's a pathological liar.
Yep.
So.
And then Sunday Night Football should be a good one. Hopefully the Ravens get their act together and play a better game and a lot more disciplined game than they did in week one because they're taking on the Chiefs. And I think you just have to go with the Chiefs. I just don't see the Ravens being able to take care of business and knock them off.
I agree. The Chiefs are one of those teams that no matter how bad they're playing – though at the end of the game, they'll be like, oh, wait a minute. We're the Chiefs.
Right.
We can do this. And they'll score 17 points
in
the last 12 minutes of the game.
Yep. It's hold my beer. Watch this. And
yeah, exactly.
Take care of business, it seems like, every time. And then Monday night's game, I think a lot of eyes are going to be on to see. And I truthfully look for Aaron Rodgers to have a big game against the Lions. Yep. But, man, oh, man, if they don't. Ooh, you think week one, everybody poo-pooing him was bad.
Jordan Love.
it's gonna be way worse. So, all right. Before we go to break, we got about a minute left. What's your prediction on final score, Saints and Panthers?
The Saints are not gonna have a 5-touchdown game like they did last week, but they will still do good. Carolina will stay in the game, but not the way the Saints will. I'm saying 24-17 Saints.
Ooh, a little closer. I'm gonna say I'm not gonna say that they're gonna have 4-5 touchdowns, but I will say they're gonna have 4 touchdowns and a field goal. I'm gonna go 31-13 Saints.
Okay.
I think that's a little lofty, but I think they can pull it off. All right, well, let's take a break, and we'll come back. We'll wrap the week up with some Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. How's that sound?
That sounds great to me.
All right, we'll be back with more after this.
Just like the curse, just like the strain.
Never Enough Tattoo at 7405 West Judge Perez Drive in Araby, right outside of New Orleans. With over 40 years of experience with artists and piercers from Las Vegas, California, and Florida, come to the best. Specializing in custom tattoos, professional body piercing, and real permanent cosmetics. Never Enough Tattoo. Give us a call at 805-423-6362. Make your appointment today. Walk-ins are always welcome.
We are having a party. It's WGSO's 75th anniversary party, and we're looking for all of you to come celebrate with us. If you're a local business, take advantage of this opportunity to be a sponsor for our big 75th anniversary party. We have great sponsorship packages offering tremendous benefits for our partners. If you're interested, contact me, Jeff Cruer, at jeff@wgso.com or 504-669-6076.
Social Security is with you through life's journey from birth to retirement. As your life changes year to year, so do your needs. For over 80 years, Social Security has helped to meet your needs and is committed to improving access to the services that make a difference in your life. Today, you can verify your earnings, estimate your future benefits, apply for retirement,
manage your benefits, and even change your address, all from the comfort of your home. Social Security's online services help put you in control with secure access to your information anytime, anywhere, allowing you to spend more time with family, friends, or simply just enjoying the day. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow. See what you can do online at socialsecurity.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Hurricanes and other disasters, whether natural or man-made, are becoming a way of life. For many, like Matthew Goche of Lake Charles, preparing go bags is essential.
We don't view it as a chore. We look at it as a way to have a family activity together. And to get started, we go to jw.org to find the things that we may need.
The effort paid off last August when the strongest hurricane winds in over 150 years battered Louisiana as Laura made landfall. Advanced preparation relieved stress as the Goche family prepared to evacuate. Matthew's wife, Daisy, felt that relief firsthand.
I deal with a lot of anxiety and stress. So for me, I would have been scrambled if I didn't have my go bag ready.
Ashley Reaney, also of Lake Charles, saw the value of go bags.
So we used over half of our go bag items within the first probably 36 hours.
Tips for disaster preparedness and suggestions for putting together your own go bag are available from FEMA at ready.gov, and you can search go bags on jw.org. Finally, Ashley's 10-year-old daughter, Arden, has this sound advice.
You might not think you need one, but trust me, you really will.
All right, welcome back to the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM. And it's that time of the week. It's time to wrap things up, and we like to do so with some Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. So, Mike, without any further ado, why don't you kick us off?
All right. Now, this one, I don't know how I never found it, but this one happened March 31st of last year. So this has nothing to do with pandemic fatigue. This is just Florida being Florida. Of course, it's Florida. And so, without further ado, Sheriff, Florida mother shot burglar who entered home because, quote, dinosaurs were chasing him.
Oh, my.
Deltona, yeah, I don't know how we hadn't found this. Deltona, Florida. A Florida man was shot by a mother of three after deputies say he broke into her Deltona, Florida home early Tuesday morning, March 31st, because he thought that dinosaurs were chasing him. Officers with the Volusia County Sheriff's Office said this happened at a home in the 2600 block of Libby Court. According to deputies, Joseph Roberts, 32, tried to break into their home around 5:45 a.m. by shattering a front window. The woman inside, a 42-year-old mother of several teenagers in the house, called 911 saying, "I don't want to shoot him, but I'm going to have to. Get out of my window. Get out of my window." Sheriff Mike Chitwood, and I got to say, I might have trouble saying the word Chitwood. said during a press conference that the mother gave White several verbal warnings to leave. When he didn't, she opened fire. When deputies arrived, the sheriff said they found Roberts in the house, and he had quite the interesting story. He told us that the dinosaurs were chasing him, and he thought he got some bad weed, said Chitwood. I have to say, I feel like it's less bad weed and more really good other stuff, whatever the other stuff
is. That's probably just messing around.
White was... yes, it's Florida, so of course.
Right.
White was airlifted to Central Florida Regional Hospital in Sanford with injuries not believed to be life-threatening after he was shot in the forearm. I like this part. He's lucky she was a bad shot, said Chitwood. And while the words shot and Chitwood almost made for a very bad situation for us. So anyway, Chitwood said they were seeking an enhanced penalty for committing a burglary during a national emergency. I don't know what the national emergency was. I guess the pandemic.
I guess.
This is the best part of the whole thing. I guess the only explanation is watch where you're buying your weed at during this time, said Chitwood. That's the sheriff who's saying watch where you buy your weed.
Well, I love
that part. That is the whole reason that I read this article. That was great.
Well, this story doesn't come from Florida, but it very well could be a Florida story, but it doesn't. This actually comes out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. And this is according to Fox 25, who's got your back. That's their slogan. The headline is Man Arrested for Stealing Leg. That's right.
Okay.
Kevion Hooks was arrested for an armed robbery in which he took a prosthetic leg from the victim. According to the Tulsa Police Department, the victim stated that Hooks came up to him with a large metal spike, took the victim's backpack, and also took the victim's prosthetic leg. Hooks even asked the victim the worth of each item he was stealing. What, really? That seems like a very drawn-out procedure.
How much
is your prosthetic leg worth? Here's the best part. When Hooks was apprehended, they found him with the victim's leg strapped to his head. Police say they took the leg off Hooks' head and gave it back to the victim.
I was not expecting that at all.
Had your kids, had your wife.
Yep. Had it strapped to his head. So, yeah, there you go. All right.
Welcome to Bourbon Street.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, you got another one? We got about 2 minutes.
Nope, that was all I had. I had that one on my other phone, my work phone, and so I don't have anything else.
All right. So, well, lucky for you, I do. And we can put this in with, instead of people having legs on their head, we can file this under people with aluminum foil on their head.
Sweet.
The headline, this is according to Boing Boing. I have no idea what the website that is, but that's what it's from.
I like the name of the website.
Right. Headline is Senator James Rich is so kooky he thinks President Biden is controlled by someone with a wireless device.
I saw that.
Yeah. Republicans have been spreading a rumor that President they've been spreading a rumor that President Biden's ability to speak is controlled by someone with a wireless push button. And whether or not, again, it's not about what side you're on, but I mean, even if you don't like the guy, I don't believe that somebody is controlling him with a remote control.
Exactly.
Senator James Rich, Republican from Idaho, asked Secretary of State Antony Blinken to tell him the name of the person in the White House who has the authority to press the button and to cut off the president's speaking ability. I don't know. I don't know where to go with that any further. I think that's enough. I think things have officially gotten out of control.
Crazy people are the reason that we do Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, to be honest. And so, yeah, this is amazing. I love it. That's a great story.
Absolutely. So, all right, that's going to do it for us this week. We're going to get out of here, and we're going to try to enjoy the weekend. Right, Mike?
Yeah, really.
We'll be back for more of the Something to Say radio show next week. And until then, we're just going to play Gloria. And who dat, go Saints. For more Something to Say radio show content, go to somethingtosayradioshow.com. Follow us on Twitter at @S2S Radio Show. And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/somethingtosayradio.
Big Easy Pet.